see anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
You've got a death curse!
It was a shark.
Little pig, let me come in.
Sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Welcome to the CineScare podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe Jans.
And unfortunately, we were supposed to have Mr. Mark Piscati with us tonight, but he... I guess he got called into work, something came up, and so he isn't going to make it. And as I explained last time, we're recording a bunch of episodes in just a week time frame so that we can have kind of a break this summer, and we will go back to recording every 2 weeks in August, but still have episodes come out. And but so we couldn't do anything. Like, I have a vacation coming up, Joe's got a vacation coming up, so we couldn't work around Mark's schedule to get him in here, but we will obviously have him back at some point. Also, which is really sad, Joe, because he had a major accident this week. I don't remember what it was. What happened?
I believe he I gotta set the mood music.
Oh, okay. Yes.
This is the Incredible Hulk walking away music. he somehow slammed his fingers in the car door.
Oh.
And it's, as you may or may have not have seen, obviously you probably did see because he sent pictures literally everywhere. he damaged that middle finger quite bad. And so, again, it's probably a good thing he didn't come onto this episode because... Here, I'm going to get rid of that. It's a good thing he didn't get on because he would have overextended the use of that middle finger at both right. You and I too much. And he needs some time to rest. I don't want him to sprain that thing or else he'll never be able to use it.
That's true. And after, I'll give him a little bit, you know, here's a little thing for him. I think this is probably what he was doing after he slammed his.
Blah, 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 blah.
I think it's the nurse. No, it's this one. This was Mark moments after slamming his finger in the door. And then, of course. Yeah.
Mark, we're with you in spirit. Actually, I may be with you in spirits in a couple of minutes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we're laughing at you, Mark. Not with you.
Not with you. Yeah, yes.
At you.
But get well soon, buddy.
Yeah,
you'll be back on the horse one of these days. Do you ride? That. Does he ride horses?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I doubt it. I highly doubt it. I don't think a horse would have him. The horse would say, nah. I don't think so.
God, I'd give my left nut for a horse whinnying sound effect right now.
Oh, I wish. Yeah, that would be awesome. So that, I mean, you know, we don't, one of the things we were going to do at the beginning of the episode is, talk to Mark about any new movies he's watched because Joe and I just recorded two nights ago and we're going to record again tomorrow night. And,
so we haven't watched a damn thing in the past 2 days.
Yeah. 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 So again,
I watched Wheel of Fortune.
I could
tell you what all the puzzles are.
I've watched Righteous Gemstones, I guess.
Or you watch? I haven't watched an episode of that.
Yeah, we actually just watched Eastbound and Down. We did that whole series because Michelle had never seen it, and then we just started. We've watched two episodes, I think, of the Righteous Gemstones, and it's good. It's good.
Oh, I take that back. I did watch something. My son and I are trading off on shows. He told me to watch Tom Segura's, I believe it's called Bad Thoughts on Netflix.
It's
hit and miss. The ones that hit, though, are really funny. The ones that miss, they drag on an awful long time, but it's, I want to say 4 episodes and it's just a bunch of like sketch comedy things, but there's one where he joins the gym and it is, my favorite out of all of them. It was hilarious. Mm. So I watched that because he said that was good. And in turn, he's got to watch all 4 seasons of Shorzy on Hulu. And he's
Shorzy. I don't know that one.
Shorzy is Jared Kesso or Kiso, the guy who wrote Letterkenny.
Oh yeah.
Okay, but this is all about him in a hockey team, a senior adult hockey league up in Canada, and it is just hilarious. I absolutely love it. So he's getting into it. He's already on season 2.
Hmm.
That's it.
I don't think we talked about the end of The Last of Us, did we? I don't think we did. I don't think we ever mentioned it.
We did not.
Yeah. What did you think of this second season?
I was all ramped up and hyped up about the season because of the one episode where it was snowing.
Right.
There were some things under the snow that came to life again.
Yeah, that was a
that cool episode. Scene. That episode got me so jazzed.
Yeah,
and then it all sort of went downhill. The last episode was good. I understand they're trying to base it off of a video game, and I understand not every single episode can be just slasher horror killing nonsense. I'm trying to watch it with a grain of salt.
It was a little disjointed, I guess, but I don't know the video game at all. So it's just all new to me. And, but it was just kind of a little after the big thing that happens, at the second episode.
Yeah.
Then it just sort of kind of meanders along. It was a little disjointed. I mean, I enjoyed it. It's still a good show, but
yeah.
It doesn't seem like it's, you know, I don't know. I can't tell what's happening with it really. And, so I don't know. Some of the character choices didn't make sense, but
I certainly though will keep up with it.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked it well enough that I'm, you know, ready for the next season.
I'm at this point, I'm kind of getting vibes of The Walking Dead again, you know, a little bit, and just kind of, I'm that into all of the post-apocalyptic thing, you know, and societies and all of that. I don't know. It's not as interesting to me as other things, but I don't know. We'll see.
That's not why I watch those shows. I don't watch them to see how society will carry on.
Yeah. But that's pretty much most of what it is.
Yeah. But I'm more interested in the demise of society. How did it get to that point?
Yeah.
You know, and we don't see much of that.
No.
They skip ahead on that on purpose, you know, it's too expensive.
Yeah.
So.
And this episode is coming out at the end of July, I guess. Right. So this will be coming out, the last week of July or something. I think the last week of July, if I'm not mistaken, or then next to last week.
28th of July, I believe.
28th of July. So yeah. I do want to remind everybody that if you're in the Los Angeles area, our CineScare second short film, on Halloween night was selected for the Midsummer Scream Horror and Halloween Convention, and they have a film festival at this convention. So we were selected for that, and it will be playing on August 16th, Saturday, August 16th at, I believe, in the 1:30 time slot. And there'll be 3 other movies in the same sort of genre set at Halloween. Our movie's obviously set at Halloween, and there's 3 other movies with it that are set at Halloween. So
I misspoke. It's the 25th of July is when this is going to come out, but I was close. Yeah.
Yeah. 25th. That's right. 25th of July. So I'll be able to announce it in the episode after that. August 8th will be the following episode. So I'll announce it then again, but just just mark it on your calendars. If you're in LA, it's down, I believe, in the Long Beach Convention Center and the Midsummer Scream Convention. Even if you don't make it to see our movie, the convention is massive. It's in this giant convention hall, and there's all kinds of vendors, horror t-shirt makers and makeup artists and, you know, all kinds of tons of people who were moving in horror movies will be there signing whatever it is you want to sign. They usually have at least a few of the Jasons there, and some of the Michaels are usually there, and some of the big stars of horror are usually there for this convention. So it's definitely, even if you don't make it to see our little short, it's definitely worth checking out. So
are they going to have a Garrett's popcorn booth this year?
I don't know. Why?
If they don't, I'm not going.
Yeah. I have no idea what that is, but
you've never had Garrett's popcorn from Chicago. No. Best popcorn in the world.
Yeah. I would highly
shout them alert.
I don't even, they might have, I don't even think they will have like,
I thought you were doubting how good Garrett's popcorn is.
No,
it will
they
never
might
be
have. Kettle corn, but it's all indoors, so I don't know if they will do that or not. But
I do like corn, kettle corn.
Kettle corn seems like an outdoor thing, I think.
Yeah, a fall thing. There's nothing like kettle corn in the fall.
I don't think I've had it. Before. Nice I always have
crisp
it
at, breeze outside.
The only time I really have kettle corn is generally when I am at a like outdoor festival, which is usually summer or whatever. Mm. So.
Fascinating.
Our candy corn, our caramel corn, kettle corn conversation is always riveting, Joe.
Yeah, just wait until the episode where we're going to talk about mixing candy corn and peanuts. Oh, what a delight.
Mark's truck driver buddy is about to run himself off the road. He's not happy about
jerk
this
the wheel into a goddamn bridge embankment.
These boring sons of bitches.
I just can't take it anymore.
I know. Oh, God. What do they cut? Jackknife. He's going to jackknife.
Jackknife. Right,
yeah. All right, Joe. So this is your pick. Take it away.
It is. I decided to do The Shape of Horror, and that was my little punny way of saying we're going to watch three movies that all have to do with shapes. And the first one we're going to talk about is called Triangle from 2009 and directed by Christopher Smith, starring Melissa George, who you may have also seen in 30 Days of Night and the remake with Ryan Reynolds of Amityville Horror, Michael Damon and Liam Hemsworth. Anything with a Hemsworth in it's got to be good. So this movie is about a little local charlatan harlot in town that lifts her skirt up high enough to get a free ride on a yacht, and then she goes on killing everybody. That's like a broad stroke overview. That's not actually what it is, but that's what I was thinking the first time. This is actually about a girl named Jess who sets sail on a yacht with her friends, and she can't shake the feeling that there's something wrong. That's nuance right there. Her suspicions are realized when the yacht hits a storm and the group is forced to board a passing ocean liner to get to safety. A ship that Jess is convinced she's been on before. She's having deja vu. The ship appears deserted. The clock on board has stopped, but they're not alone. Someone is intent on hunting them down one by one, and Jess unknowingly holds the key to end the terror. Or does she? All right, Matt, what'd you think about Triangle? And you're on mute.
God damn it.
You were speechless. That's what you
know. I know. Yeah. Well, you know, Mark really pulled the rug out. I'm going to blame everything on Mark tonight.
Yep.
The deal. Yeah.
Jess would have got off that boat if it weren't for Mark.
Yeah, if it wasn't for Mark.
Yeah. Those damn kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Bedford Falls would have been a swinging joint like Vegas if it weren't for Mark.
Pottersville.
Pottersville. All right. So I really like this movie. Obviously the first time we've talked about it before, but we had all just watched it. I think you watched it one week.
Yes.
And said, you guys got to watch this. So Mark and I watched it then, as I always watch everything you tell me to watch, I think, for the most part. Mark usually takes like several months, but this time he jumped right on it.
It was Johnny on the spot. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we talked about it a bit then. But yeah, this is especially, I think the first time you watch it, it's definitely very effective. The second time I was a little bit more confused by, you know, some of the logic, the time logic or whatever, the time loop logic. But it's definitely still worth checking out. I don't think it's one that I would revisit again now because it's so dependent on its secret. It's sort of like, I guess, sort of like, well, I mean, the twist isn't like
the Sixth Sense.
It's not like that. But Sixth Sense is
there
so,
is a twist.
There is something that happens, obviously, in that like changes everything. And you know, I think that one is probably more rewatchable than this. But this is so dependent on a time loop kind of situation that it doesn't, for me, it doesn't lend itself as much to rewatching. But I did have a problem that the girl, the main girl, still was wearing like these wedge sandals.
I didn't
quite understand. And especially after they fell into the water, she was still swimming with them on and was running around this ship. I would think that you'd kick those off. And Michelle agreed that you would kick those off immediately as soon as you could, especially if you're running all over the place. They would not be conducive to getting away from someone or catching someone.
If I could jump onto that point, when she jumps off the boat, she's actually wearing a pair of coveralls and the wedges, and then the very next scene she's woken up on shore on this beach
and she still has, however, wedges.
She has the coveralls are off,
right?
Somehow
floating.
Those are floating at the edge of the water, but yet her wedges are still on. Makes no sense.
I did notice this time, I don't know that I noticed the last time, but one of the rooms that they go into is 237, which is obviously a callback to The Shining movie.
Mark's favorite movie of all time.
Yeah. He thinks it's the greatest movie ever made.
It's better that he said on the record that it's better than Friday the 13th.
Better than Friday the
13th. Weird.
Also better than Dr. Sleep. I think he said that Dr. Sleep is a hack kind of film as opposed to, and I felt like he was going a little far overboard with that, you know, like,
you know, once he gets going on The Shining, it's hard to shut him up.
Once he gets going, wind him up and he won't shut up.
Too bad he's not here to expound on that statement.
It's too bad. Joe, if you were only here, you don't know what we get up to and you ditch us.
We were going to just give you the mic and let you go on and on about how wonderful you think The Shining is.
Right. Joe, if you saw yourself like this girl does, would you want to talk to yourself?
I'm probably not. I don't have much of a personality. I'm not that interesting.
Not that exciting.
And yeah, I'd get bored with myself real quick. You know, I've heard it all before.
I want to talk to myself. I think it would be fascinating. I don't know that I would have, I'm not sure what the conversation would be like, but it would just be the experience of talking to myself, you know, talking to another me.
Yeah.
The future or the past. I'm not sure.
I don't know if I would talk to myself, but I can bet I wouldn't try to kill myself.
Right.
Or the other myself.
Right. The other me. Yeah. That got a little convoluted there.
Yeah.
And then the girl, a really cool scene where she's crawling into this area and there's a whole bunch of her body lying there. Like that happens over and over, but nobody else has a bunch of their bodies lying around that I can tell. Right. Or did they dump everybody? I don't remember.
I had the same note. The scene with all the dead Sallys was fantastic.
It was, I love it, but like I don't know, maybe there's a different part of the boat with everybody else's stack of bodies, but
I think the other two, I know some of them have all gotten thrown overboard.
Yeah.
So they would be in the bottom of the ocean, a big pile of themselves.
And, I do think, the ending is it still works, you know. I don't know if we're talking about the ending or what do you want to do about that? If any,
this is 16 years old.
Yeah.
I would say,
I mean, it's not a, it. I think it is kind of a hidden gem though. It's not one you hear that much about,
then
I don't know.
Although speaking of which, I would like to say I'm confused. I can't without,
I don't know. It. Should we tell people to skip ahead? I don't know.
They're probably doing that anyway.
Yeah. Let's skip past this part. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a car accident and somebody in the car is also watching themselves afterwards in the accident, which I don't understand how that happens. Yeah. Although, one thing I did learn is the self that's watching the car accident, then, there's a taxi cab that pulls up, offers her a ride. The driver would be the ferryman.
Yeah.
Carrying her, you know, into the next stage whatever. Of her existence, yeah. whatever right. it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then she chooses to just go back to the time loop, really.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I was, you know, it turns out she's abusive to her kid. And I don't know, like, is that her or is like, I don't, that's, is that an alternate universe version of her? Like,
I don't think so. I think that is actually her character. Right. Yeah. However, we are introduced to her beyond when that event had happened, when she's abusing her child. So, cause I think that's done on purpose because if we were introduced to her while she is abusing her special needs child,
then we
our opinion of her right off the bat, I could care less about what she does for the rest of the movie.
Right. Yeah.
So they do that strategically. And then when she, only when she witnesses herself on the time loop doing that to her son, does she decide to return back to Bedford Falls and turn over a new leaf.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but overall it's a, you know, I think it's a really good movie. Definitely worth checking out if people haven't. So that's all I have on this one. It's a good one.
And I kept wondering even the first time when we watched this, why don't I know anything about this movie? This movie's really well done.
Yeah.
It's not like it was a COVID thing because it was in 2009. Mm-hmm. And it's got a Hemsworth in it. Hemsworth can't blow his nose without you knowing about it. Turns out, it was not released in the US at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it wasn't much of a box office hit in the UK where it was released. The budget for this film was $12 million. And the worldwide gross is only 1.3.
Wow.
So this, you know, box office wise, this was a stinker. But I couldn't disagree more. Lindsay Lohan was actually rumored to play Jess instead of Melissa George, which had she... as we all could probably guess, they would have made a profit.
Yeah.
Because of how her acting prowess.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep a straight face on that.
They couldn't afford her.
Yeah. She was untouchable.
Untouchable.
So, okay. I did want to point out, because I don't think I grasped this as much the first time as I did on the rewatch, but I do like all the symbolisms and homages to Sisyphus and, you know, having to push the ball, roll the stone up the hill for eternity. And that's basically just an analogy of what Jess's life is going to be. She's got to suffer the same consequences over and over and over again for eternity. Right. They do mention that I had in the film, I guess I just sort of skated by it the first time. There is one more interesting tidbit that I got to mention. So the only real song that you hear throughout this entire movie is Anchors Away, and it's performed by Glenn Miller and his orchestra. But funny point about that, the aircraft that carried Glenn Miller to Paris in December 1944, actually, I think it was his parents, it disappeared over the English Channel. Which is often considered the Bermuda Triangle, which is why they picked a song that him and his band performed because he's been in it. So
interesting.
Yeah. All right. Well, the next shape we're going to is going to be a spiral. And so we're going to watch Yuzumaki, which is translates into English as spiral. And the synopsis of this is a completely black and white animated movie. And the art style, in my opinion, is tremendous. And this is all taken from a graphic novel. But the gist of the story is the population of this small town, whose name I'm just going to butcher, so I'm not even going to bother. There's a small village, and they're slowly driven mad by their growing obsession of spiral shapes that they keep finding everywhere within the town. And it's starting to invade their mind and invade their daily lives to the point where they're physically being altered by the essence or haunting of spiral shapes that are noticeable everywhere. So Matt, why don't you go ahead and start us down this spiral?
Yeah, this one, I really like this. Yeah, you had a couple bangers here with, well, obviously the triangle and this one too. This was, I thought this was really good. I'm not sure, like, I understood everything that was going on the whole time and what was really at the core of this. And I don't think they really were interested in explaining very much, but it was such a weird trip that it was really, really well done and really enjoyable. But there were some images that were just really creepy. Those girls who are sort of vampire-ish, you know, coming down the hall, the pregnant women who were drinking people's bloods, and they had those little hand drills. It was so great. And just their look was so creepy. And then they go into that into that delivery room, and that woman is there, and she's calling for blood or whatever. It's such a creepy scene, and just great, some really great images. And the dad at the beginning that twists himself into a spiral, and
the eyes.
Yeah.
Right off the bat, when they started describing about his eyes go into these spirals when he's talking about it. And it's just so creepy.
Independently or whatever.
Yeah.
So great. Such a creepy image. And I liked our two main characters. I don't know that they ever explained why those two were like the only two people in the whole town who weren't, impacted.
Kyrie and Suichi.
Yeah. Kyrie and Suichi. Yeah, and I don't know if they ever explain why those two, of all the people in the whole town, were really the only ones unaffected by the spiral. And he's, you know, his dad was the main one at the beginning who was...
the first to fall.
Yeah. And then her whole family have kind of, you know, they did well for a while, but they eventually fell victim. But it was such a cool, and then the town itself turning into a big spiral, and how those whatever those things are inside, like built those
houses,
so that they fit together. It was so crazy. It's such a interesting, odd idea for all of this stuff. And then I was wondering, why don't they just leave town? But of course, we find out later in an episode that there really isn't a way to leave town. And it seems like there is a way to get there, but you can't really leave once you're there. You wind up in this weird, almost like it's not a time loop, but it's like a time stops when you're outside the town going down the road or whatever, but you wind up going right back to the town. It's like From, I guess, to something, you know, where you could leave, but you wind up, the road just takes you right back. Mm-hmm. But in this case, it's not just that the road loops back to the town. It's also that the road has its own time measurement. And so when they were only gone for some hours, but when they got back to the town, it had been years, I think, something.
Yeah,
years or at least months. Let's see. The snail people. Amazing. amazing.
Yes.
Such a creepy thing. Love the snail people. And sometimes I did get confused on who is who because they introduced new characters, you know, frequently. And sometimes I know that the main guy, he had glasses on. But every now and then they would jump to a new character and I was like, wait a minute, who is this now?
Which one's that?
Yeah, which one is that? And it was somebody new, but there wasn't in this show that it worked, but it did seem like they didn't explain much, you know, like each episode there would just be these series of events that would happen and sometimes they wouldn't really be tied together. But that one kid who turned into the snail and he's crawling up the side of the school,
so disgusting.
Just incredible imagery. It's I know there's a lot of other movies called Uzumaki, Japanese movies. I looked it up on IMDb or on Letterboxd, and there's a few others. In fact, one seems like it was a live action version of this.
Okay, because that was one of my notes. Is like this absolutely positively has to be turned into a live action movie.
I guess there was. It was. Let me look it up. I think it was. It was old. It was like 90s maybe. So I don't know. Like this may have been a remake of that, but yeah. In fact, Uzumaki 2000. And if you look it up, it's a girl sitting in a chair. And her hair is all over the place in swirls. The blurb on it or whatever, it says the inhabitants of a small Japanese town become increasingly obsessed with and tormented by spirals. So it's got to be this cartoon must be the same. It must be a remake.
When was that?
2000.
Okay. I already don't want to watch it because computer graphics were not.
Oh yeah,
the way they are now. Back then, so I'm just discounting it. This isn't something you can do with practical effects, not in my opinion.
Yeah,
this is a very heavy CG concept.
Right. It would be very CG, I'm sure, if they did the snail boys and all of that. But it's not available to watch anywhere. Oh okay. No, it is. It's on Amazon Prime actually. So I might check it out. I've got the summer, so I might check it out because it's. Let me see. It's only 90 minutes too. This was four episodes, but anyway,
I wanted to go off on some of the beautiful imagery that they conjured up for this. First off, there's another girl that, her best friend, is this brunette who's got a little spiral scar on her forehead that keeps getting bigger. And as it gets noticed by more and more of the schoolboys, the more obsessed they are with her. And there's a scene where it gets so big that it actually starts becoming a hole in her head that like almost like a black hole. And it has encompassed and lowered below her actual eyeball. And her eyeball starts shaking and eventually breaks loose and falls into the back of her head. And it's so disturbing. It's something I'd love to see CGI take care of. There is a eerie lighthouse that's on in this island that all of a sudden starts coming back on, and they try to find out what's at the top of it. And there's so many, I was about to say twists and turns, but duh, it's a spiral staircase. Mm-hmm. She has to like walk over the people that have tried to get up there in the past. And the light kicks on and it just starts flaming hot and everybody gets singed. It's the transformation into the snail people is so absurd and so beautifully done, even to the point where their eyeballs start protruding out like those two long antenna with their eyes sticking on the end of it. It's just, and I think the part I like most of it isn't the final transformation, but the beginnings of it, where the first kid that it happens to is kind of like the fat kid in class, and he's always late, and he's always slow, and he's always sweating. And eventually that sweat becomes the slime that he, you know, as once he becomes a snail, and his back starts to deform and turn into this swirl, which eventually becomes a shell. It's something you gotta witness for yourself.
It is so good. And then the people, when they join, like if it's a couple, they join into a spiral.
Yeah. Now I've read online a lot of people. Oh, hang on. I do want to, back when you were talking about, there's a scene in the hospital with all these pregnant women and they just given birth. I thought it was really weird that these newborn babies are in their like bassinets next to each other and they're talking out loud. They're having just like they've been doing it their whole lives. Yeah,
exactly. They're babies.
Yes. Yeah. They've literally born like within the hour and they already have full speech capabilities.
Yeah.
A lot of people have a problem with the ending of this film, which we're not going to get into because it's a year old. I mean, I realize the source material is probably decades old, but this movie, I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but there's really no resolution. It's more of a, they succumb to things. And I love, especially in the early parts of this film, as they're walking up and down the street, you can look all over the screen. And I got the trailer running right in front of me, all the little swirls that they've hidden. It's like going to Disney World and finding all the hidden Mickeys.
Yeah.
And of course my favorite section of this movie is the girls in the school, their hair starts to swirl, to grow and starts to get big. And then eventually these two girls face off in the playground and they're having a swirling hair fight where their arms and legs are still, you know, just on the ground. And, but no, their hair is just going after each other. It's just so weird.
Yeah.
This is a must watch for people. The funny thing is I've seen that artwork for the film on HBO for forever, you know, and one of these days. And so now this was kind of my reason for doing this. So I'd have an excuse to watch this. And I'm so glad I did.
Yeah. I had not come across this. So, and I probably wouldn't have watched it cause I'm really, I love Japanese movies and, you know, Korean movies and everything, but I'm not a big fan of Japanese animation. And so I would not have chosen to watch this. So I'm glad you picked it because this was a good one too.
Yeah. And it is Japanese animation, but I certainly wouldn't call this anime.
No, definitely.
It's a much more graphic novel, I guess, type style.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a lot of fluid motion. And
it seemed like the English, like I didn't know how it was going to work. Is it going to be subtitles or what? And then when I heard somebody talking, I couldn't, you know, I think the first time you hear somebody talking, you can't see their mouth. But
yeah.
But then you see, and it worked. So I don't know if they did a version for English and a version for in Japanese or what, or because it didn't seem like the dubbing was off at all.
No.
So, no. Yeah, it worked well.
All right. Well, we're going to get on to the last shape. And that, of course, is Circle, which was on Netflix from 2015. Director Aaron Han. The synopsis is in a massive, mysterious chamber, 50 strangers awaken to find themselves trapped with no memory of how they got there. Every 2 minutes, one of them must die. They're executed by an electric pulse generated from a source within the chamber. And at first, the attacks seem random, but then soon the strangers all realize that they as a group have the power to decide who's going to be killed next by the power of the vote. So mob mentality is basically the underlying theme of this entire movie. So if you were standing in a room with 49 other people, you collect and it's made apparently clear every one of you is going to die. It's just a matter of in what order until there is one person left. So Matt, is this one of those bangers you were talking about?
Oh, no. 2 out of 3 ain't bad, Joe. this one, I
knew it.
I physically hated this movie while I was watching it. I really didn't care for it. They seemed like they figured out the rules on this thing pretty quickly. I would think that a lot more people would have died before I would have even gotten any idea what we were supposed to do, especially the voting thing, because that did not seem self-explanatory at all. But they figured it out almost immediately. I think maybe one or two people died before they figured out the voting situation. And it did seem like the timing on the kills, I didn't go and check my, I didn't go back and set my timer to see whether or not they were doing it every 2 minutes, actually. But it did seem like the timing was sometimes the next death would happen like right away. And sometimes the next death would happen after a good amount of time for a conversation.
Right.
So I, whoever's
plenty of time for exposition.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. I thought the dialogue was absolutely awful. I didn't believe anything anybody was saying, but this is a really, I you know, it's not surprising because this would be a really, really hard movie to make and do well. You have to have actors that are really, really good and dialogue that is sharp and on point, and then something else in it to kind of give it a twist. And there really wasn't any of that.
In regarding the actors, they actually have to act. They can't just look the archetype.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, and then everybody's a loudmouth and then they die. And then there's a new loudmouth to take their place. You know, it's the cop all of a sudden. I was like, the cop should have just shut up. Obviously, you become a loudmouth in this situation.
Everyone hates you.
Everyone's going to vote next. You out. Yeah. You're going to be like, okay, this guy has to go. That made the decision a lot easier for a while, at least, while one person after the next became a dick. I wrote, these are the stupidest motherfuckers on the planet. And then at one point somebody said, you know, everybody vote for themselves. And I thought that was a pretty big risk to take, you know, just for an experiment to see what happens, you know.
Which my response would have been, don't tell me what to do.
Yeah, exactly. And then they vote you off. The guy in the tie would have been voted out immediately. He lasted a long time before he died. I said, this isn't the worst movie you've ever watched, obviously, but I can't think of one I wanted to turn off more than this.
Who would have been your first to go? Who would have been your number one pick?
I don't know, because they weren't all dicks to begin with. It was like there would be one dick and then he'd die. Mm-hmm. And then somebody else would take his place. Like there had to be at every
moment. Then it was the long haired surfer guy with the shorts on.
The long haired guy. Yeah. There was the guy that was near him that was, I can't remember he had short blondish hair.
Yeah.
I don't know.
My number one, like the guy that I don't know, would have laughed when he finally got off was the banker, the guy in the Argyle sweater who was just a chatty Cathy and telling everybody what to do. Yeah. First to go.
No kidding. Especially when they were talking about killing the old people first and he's acting like a dick the whole time. I'm like, you're making it really hard for yourself. You're old and you're acting like a dick.
But again, my point to all this is why bother? You're going to die in whether it's in 2 minutes or 15 minutes, you're going to go anyway. Don't go out like a dick.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of the logic of the choices, I just didn't understand what they were arguing about, what their points were. The one loudmouth dies and another takes his place. It's like, they don't learn. I'm like, if I was there, I would be just either being quiet or, you know, being, you know, hey, everybody, let's chill out. And then I wrote, I'm going to Tahoe in a week, so I'm reminding myself of that happy fact while I suffer through this. The road trip to Tahoe, though, 6.5 hours, is always one of my favorite parts of the vacation. Joe, I wrote all this while I was watching the movie. The scenery just gets more beautiful, and then we stop at this little town called Bishop for lunch and this little Swedish bakery called Eric Schatz Bakery. Best sandwiches. Such a cute little place.
And with each morsel that I ingest, I will think to myself, at least I'm not watching Circle.
At least I'm not watching Circle. And then at one point towards the end, one of the characters said, all of this for nothing. And I was like, exactly, motherfucker. That's how I feel. Now you know.
My favorite line in the entire movie is when they say, nothing personal. Like, you just killed another person. Right. How is that not personal?
That's the most personal thing there is right now. There's no situation that could be more personal than that.
I was really shocked when I found out that the conservative white rich banker guy with the suspenders on happened to also be a homophobe.
Who
could have written that stuff?
Yeah, I know. And then they reveal a bunch of bad CGI flying saucers and a group of semi-interested people staring up at them with zero expression. I was like, oh, that's the end.
Yeah. A bunch of women and children and a handful of guys.
Yeah. And they're all just, and none of them really looks like scared or dumbfounded. They're just kind of looking. It was very odd. And then the flying saucers themselves, I'm like,
Well, I wanted to know what's the basis of the aliens picking these 50 people.
Right.
Was it really supposed to be truly random, or were the aliens specifically trying to find 50 different archetypes to put against each other? Because they did it.
I got the feeling that they were looking, there was too much of a population and they were taking, you know, doing a Thanos kind of thing where they are just reducing the, I don't know there was no explanation because it's just obviously aliens came, but why would aliens go through the process of making them do all of that? Like if they just want to kill a bunch of people, they would kill a bunch of people. They're not going to be like, this will be fun. You know,
it's not like
2 hours.
The aliens are still responsible for all of the deaths.
Mm-hmm.
It's just they're not picking the order.
Right. Exactly.
So big deal. You're still, you know,
you're still
Nazi.
The killer. Yeah. Just because we voted, we didn't have a choice.
Yeah. I did have a note that after about 15 minutes of figuring out what was going on, I gladly would have volunteered to go next just so I could be done with it.
I know, but like, you know,
just put me out of my misery. I don't want to listen to this banker guy anymore.
Please vote me. This is the biggest. Yeah. I got stuck with the biggest group of assholes of all time.
Yeah. I was also wondering if we had had, you know, was there a different ship that had 50 different people where this movie could have been interesting?
Yes.
But I don't think there is. It's the concept.
Maybe. But I was hoping that I was like, maybe we should have watched one of those flying saucers because this one sucked. They could have been worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think one thing you and I can both agree on is that if you and I and Mark were all on the same ship, Mark would be the first to go. Yeah.
100%.
That is my final note that I have on my after watching the movie.
Damn it. Wrong one. There we go.
Mark would be the first to go. Thank you.
Yeah. 100%. Sorry, Mark, but.
Not that he'd get voted out. It's just he wouldn't know the rules. Then he'd just step in the wrong direction and he'd die. Yeah, it'd be like, purely accidental.
Well, I'm getting out of here.
Yeah. I'm going to go find the door. Go ahead, Mark. Sorry.
It's not my fault.
Yeah.
Of course, if he were here, he would be arguing vehemently that he would be the last one.
The last one. He would have outsmarted us all.
Yeah, he would have sounds. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go with that. Mark. Mark would have lived.
All right.
He would have lived to repopulate the planet.
Yeah. Well, a couple of good movies. And definitely Uzumaki is one that is going to stick with me because I thought that was a great show.
Yeah.
If you out there have not watched it, please go check it out. It's really good.
So, it's on HBO Max or Max or Max Lite or whatever HBO is calling
now
their channel
now. Back to HBO Max.
Yeah. HBO Max. Okay.
Yep, they're calling it that now. So.
Yep. And if you are brave enough and bored enough, go watch Circle on Netflix.
If you're really bored or you're a completist. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're a CineScare completist, obviously you got to watch it.
So. Obviously. Yeah.
All right.
Goes with the territory.
That could be a chance for another 2 out of 3 ain't bad next time. So my next pick is Analog Nightmares, Joe.
Ooh.
Yeah. Little analog.
I like analog.
Yeah. So we're going to start things off with 1987's The Video Dead. And you can find this on Tubi. Currently, obviously,
where else?
Yeah, obviously, I'm saying this in mid June, so I don't know by the time August or no, August comes around, whether or not this is still going to be available on Tubi or not. But as of right now, it is. So
we have to change all three of these picks entirely.
I know. Yeah. I think Amazon, though, it is something you can rent at least. So,
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Or it's on Fubo, which you do have too.
Oh, yes, I do.
Yeah. So that hopefully that one will still be available. And then the next one is, speaking of Japanese, this is another Japanese film. This is called Evil Dead Trap from 1988. And you can find...
Is there a chainsaw in that one?
No, I don't think so. Evil Dead Trap. And this one you can find on Shudder, Amazon Prime. It's got a bunch. Plex. Shudder, Amazon Prime, Plex. So, and or for rent if you're really hard up and you want to rent this. But you might as well just get a month of Shudder and be done with it. So that, again, that's Evil Dead Trap from 1988.
Okay.
And then the last one, last but not least, is from 1983, David Cronenberg's Videodrome.
Oh.
And this one is for rent on Amazon or Apple TV Plus. So
I have never seen that.
Oh, excellent. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, this is a good one. I actually had just seen it the first time. I think maybe our first year, during Shocktober, I watched it our first year. But at any rate, yeah, no, it's great. It's very Cronenberg, and it's starring James Woods, Debbie Harry. Yeah. I don't think there's anybody like big names other than those two.
And yeah. I've always been aware of its existence. I just never got around to watching it.
Yeah. It's a very David Cronenberg, very, very David Cronenberg movie. So, but it's good.
Ooh, I'm looking forward to that.
I think you'll enjoy it. Yeah. So again, that is Videodrome, Evil Dead Trap, and The Video Dead for Analog Nightmares.
All right.
Yeah. And Joe, I will tell you, do you know how I came up with this idea?
No.
I used ChatGPT. I typed into it and said, what are some good themes for a horror movie marathon that are more deep dives whatever? And so it gave me a bunch of themes. And so I just looked up these movies then. So, yeah.
All right.
It's a great idea.
I thought you were going to say, because like a couple episodes ago when I did that video game horror.
Yeah.
Videodrome was one of the ones that sort of came up.
Right. And that one isn't really a video game. It's
right. More, and that's why I discounted it. But I came across, I was hoping maybe you were influenced or inspired by my video game horror.
No, I was episode. Literally just, I was inspired by ChatGPT, gave me a list of themes that would be fantastic. So,
yeah. All right. I'll get over
and
it.
And Analog Nightmares is not one that I had ever even thought of, you know, like analog, what would that be? So I did some searching and came up with these. So not all bad. Right. Yeah. So,
okay.
Look at the wonders of the modern world using digital.
Yes. Yes.
For analog, Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Using artificial intelligence for analog.
Versatile solutions for modern living.
Yeah. And actually you were an inspiration, Joe, because that used to be part of our banter back in the day. I used to say, it's all analog now, Joe. Don't you understand?
Yeah. It's all ball bearings these days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, again, go to www.cinescarehorror.com and check out our merchandise. And please, if you are in the LA area, go to Midsummer Scream Horror and Halloween Convention and check out our movie on Saturday the 16th of August. So I guess that's it.
That's it.
All right. Well, we will see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us.
It was a shark.
Little pig, let me come in.
We
all go a little mad sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Ba 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 ba